Morning. You are listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. It is Thursday, February the 18th, 2016. Time is moving on. It's a beautiful day here in Northeast Texas. I hope you're enjoying just the same wherever you are today. And we're glad that you've joined us. This morning, we're going to be continuing our study of through the book of Mark as we are going through the New Testament, a chapter each day, each weekday. And today it's going to be Mark chapter 6. And there's a lot of action in this book. I know that Brother Rutledge, starting this study, talked about the action that's in this book. And this is a power-packed book, the book of Mark. And we'll be looking at chapter 6 shortly. But before that, we want to notice some of the things that are on our bulletin board. One of those is the upcoming Shenandoah Lectures. This is going to be held February the 19th through the 21st. It is going to be held at the Shenandoah Church of Christ, located at 11026 Warsbach Road. They've got a great lineup of speakers for you and topics. The general theme this year is the superiority of the Christian system. For more information, call 210-696-5532. That's 210-696-5532. This coming weekend is going to be a busy weekend if you are in the Atlanta, Texas area. Make plans to attend. This is going to begin. There's going to be a men's retreat held Friday evening, February 19th, and Saturday morning, the 20th. The speaker for that is going to be Brother Richard Rutledge, here of the Gospel Radio Network. Saturday, the 20th, will be Atlanta's Ladies' Day. The speaker will be Holly McCormick, wife of the gospel preacher for Atlanta there, Brother John McCormick. And then beginning Sunday, the 21st, and running toward to the 24th, will be their gospel meeting with Speaker Richard Rutledge with the theme, Lessons Learned Along the Way. The Atlanta Church of Christ is located at 512 East Pine Street. And for more information, you can contact the brethren there at 903-796-3371. I would also encourage you to tune in to the program of sponsored by the Atlanta congregation. That is each week, every Thursday at 10:30 a.m. That's Simply Christian with John McCormick, brought to you by the Atlanta Church of Christ. Coming up, March 4th through the 6th, the 23rd Annual Shreveport-Bossier Lectureship, Oh, to Be Like Him. This is a work of several congregations in the area. This year it is hosted by the Blanchard Congregation. And it will begin on Friday evening at 7 p.m. And this will run through the weekend. The Shreveport-Bossier Lecture is a joint effort between four area congregations, the Blanchard Church of Christ, the Carriage Oaks Church of Christ, the Bossier City Church of Christ, and the Sunset Church of Christ, all in the Shreveport-Bossier City area there. This event is going to be held at the Carriage Oaks Building, located at 5661 Shed Road in Bossier City. There will be a lunch Saturday for everyone, and this is going to be a series of great lessons. Make plans to attend the 23rd Annual Shreveport-Bossier Lectures. Also, we have news of... How can we be a part of it? What will happen to this kingdom in the future? Come and hear spiritual biblical lessons designed to inform. North McCoy Boulevard. You can contact them at 903-628-2891 or visit the website at newbostoncoc.org. A huge event coming up around the corner, March 27th through the 31st, is the 50th annual lectureship of the Memphis School of Preaching. Preach the Word is the theme, and that's what they have done for so many years. You can obtain more information at 901-751-2242 or visit the website at msop.org, and we'll have more to come on that. Hopefully we'll be there live. I believe Brother Smithy is going to broadcast live from the lectures there, and have interviews and such for you. Ladies, April 2nd, the Colleyville Church of Christ in Colleyville, Texas. The Ladies' Day theme is Recipe for Peace. The ladies will be looking at Philippians with Sister Evelyn Bonner, and the teenagers will be looking at lessons designed for them with Sister Kelly Puckett. This is at the Colleyville Church of Christ. And for more information about this event coming up April the 2nd, call 817-281-1681. That is 817-281-1681. March 19th will be another Ladies' Day, March the 19th. That's the Ladies' Day at the Angelina Church of Christ in Lufkin, Texas. The theme is Stir Up One Another for Love and Good Works. They ask that you RSVP by March 9th. So contact the Angelina Church of Christ in Lufkin, Texas, ladies, for this upcoming Ladies' Day. If you're in the southeastern Oklahoma area, there is going to be a gospel meeting coming up February 28th through March the 2nd. This is going to be at the Broken Bow Church of Christ. The speaker is going to be Brother Wayne Jones from the University Church of Christ in San Marcos, Texas. For more information, contact Brother Anthony Warnes and the brethren there in the Broken Bow area for this upcoming gospel meeting. Broken Bow is a beautiful area. The state park there is one of the most beautiful I've ever seen. A great place to stay. You can camp there and attend this gospel meeting. What an opportunity that will be. April the 30th through May the 5th, mark this on your calendar. That is going to be the Focal Point Seminar. We're going to have a lot more to say about that in the weeks to come. But there is going to be classes for elders, preachers, youth workers, ladies, young people. There's a class for everyone. And we encourage you to make plans to attend this event. You can contact the university congregation at 512... 4-1-2 bulletin board, we encourage you to let us know at office@tgrn.org, and we'll be happy to get that on the air for you. Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to have our Bibles turned and ready to the 6th chapter of Mark as we continue our daily study through the book of Mark here on Mornings for the Master. Don't go away. We'll be right back. As we begin Mark chapter 6, we first noticed that we see those who take offense to Jesus with varying reasons. And we see it here in the beginning with the townspeople concerning our Lord. There's an old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. I think that certainly is the case here, as he's among his own people. Let's pick up now in verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hand? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Why were they amazed at Jesus? Notice their words in verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Again, why were they offended? It is an insulting statement that they make. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? In those days, it was considered an insult to refer to one as his mother's son rather than the father's. And we find Jesus is amazed at the unbelief of the townspeople. And so, in verse 4, Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus was amazed because of their unbelief. For all of the evidence that had been given to them, yet they would not believe. But nonetheless, Jesus would keep on teaching. And we must also do the same. Even when people will not listen, we must continue to teach. We see that Jesus performed few miracles there because of their rejection of him. Hopefully, our faith is a faith that has grown beyond and become more mature than what these townspeople was at the time. Hopefully, it is not a shallow faith as these individuals had. And so, Jesus would not be deterred from his work. And so, even though in spite of the rejection of him there, we see now that Jesus sends out the 12 over the next few verses. Copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. Also, he said to them, In whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, It will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. The apostles were going to have to make this journey on faith. They would go out in faith that the Lord would provide their needs. That's why they were not to take the normal provisions that they would take. They were going to have to trust that the Lord would take care of their needs. They were going out in faith. In Matthew's account of this, in chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said, "Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food." They were probably, of course, well aware that Jesus was sending them out after his own rejection by his own people. They would understand that they were going to at times face opposition. But they must be persistent as Jesus was, and so they would go about their business. And so the 12 go. Verse 12 says, "So they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them." We are certainly called to go out today. We must also realize that there is also a time when we must shake the dust off our feet in regards to those who are not good soil. And so they go out, and now, as Jesus has sent them out, beginning in verse 14, we see many were puzzled or wondering about Jesus, who he was. And so let's consider now in these next verses the thoughts of various ones as to just who Jesus was. Verse 14. "Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, 'John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him.'" So we see Herod thinking that Jesus is John risen from the dead. We see in verse 15 that others said it is Elijah. And others said it is the prophet or like one of the prophets. So we see the thoughts are all over the board concerning Jesus. Some believing him to be John the Baptist, some Elijah, some one of the prophets, or somebody like one of the prophets. You know, Mark also recalls the boldness of John in confronting Herod over his unlawful marriage. John showed the boldness that a great preacher of the gospel must have. You know, when we look through the course of time, we see that there have been bold preachers, courageous men, those that are willing to stand up for truth. And so we have these as examples that we can also do the same things. I think of the days of showed great courage, Thomas Warren, and even a little bit later, men like Johnny Ramsey, Brother Ira Rice, Brother Curtis Cates, and others. And even today, laboring through the kingdom, there are men with that courage, and we need to be prayerful for those. I'm blessed here to be associated with these good men in this work, men like Richard and Chip and Ryan, who are bold and faithful proclaimers. And so, they show an example for us, and these type of men are throughout the brotherhood. We need to understand that courage is a precious commodity. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20, we read that praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We all need to pray for courage to be bold and courageous. John exposed sin wherever he found it. He would rebuke common people, religious leaders, and kings. And so, we can see how Herod was scared as to who Jesus was. And notice Herod's statement concerning the identity of Christ in verse 16. But when Herod heard, he said, "This is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead." He believed John had risen from the dead as Jesus. And we see Herod's confusion concerning John. Notice verse 17. For Herod himself had sinned and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him. Brother's wife. That statement, in fact, would cost John his very life. Herod had married his brother's wife, and she was also his niece. But notice, and we need to take a lesson here, John did not use opinion. You know, we all have opinions. But John used the scripture to convict the action of Herod. Why was Herod's marriage unlawful? Herod was legally married to another woman. Herodias was the legal wife of Philip. Also, the law of Moses forbid the marriage of close kin, Leviticus 18, 6-18. Indeed, the marriage of Herod and Herodias was both adulterous and incestuous. It was truly not lawful for him to have her. You see, John would not wink at sin. He would not turn an eye to it. John would confront sin because he loved the souls of men. And neither can we. Even if it is uncomfortable, even if it is not something easy to deal with, because it's usually not. But we must love souls enough to go to them in an effort to save the soul. Praise be to God for those that have the courage to confront sin. It was not an easy thing for the prophet Nathan to go to the great King David and to confront him concerning his adulterous affairs with Bathsheba. Do you think Nathan didn't realize that David had the power to have him executed on the spot? But as we read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, we find that to David, Nathan did go and recalled. We live. When men live in a land where leaders will not accept truth, the church is in for hard times. Brethren, we live in a land today where truth is not in fashion. Our leaders are rejecting truth, and we must prepare, we must gird up our loins, for indeed hard times lie ahead. This plan to kill John had been going on for some time, as we'll notice as we read. In fact, verse 19 lends to the fact that Herodias had been planning for some time for the right moment to destroy John. Let's pick up in verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom." So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked him, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. A lot of things to see here from this. Time won't allow us to go too deeply, but notice the effect on Herod of the lascivious movements of this stepdaughter. It says he was pleased with the dance. In fact, just how far did it move him? This powerful king was so consumed in his lust at the young girl's dancing that he was ready to offer her half of his kingdom. Of course, this also speaks to the foolishness of the daughter and the mother, for they could have had half the kingdom, and instead they chose the head of John. And like King David, the sin of Herod here led to even greater sin. We need to understand, men, that we must be careful to guard ourselves from allowing our eyes to look upon such. Ladies, be aware of the power that you have over men. For if this man, this king, was willing to give up half his kingdom, what will men be willing to do today? We see the evidence all around. Homes being destroyed because of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. And so now we move forward, and now we see those who would be fed by Jesus. And these next verses give us a wonderful example of the compassion of our Jesus. Let's notice his compassion for the apostles. Verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. They had returned back now from their going out, their first venture out on their own with the good news of the kingdom. And then 31, and he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat. So now Jesus had earlier sent them out, and now they return back to Jesus. They're ready to give their reports of their journeys back to the Lord. You can imagine the excitement they had about telling Jesus all of the things that had taken place. Imagine how animated their accounts would be. Probably, they were probably wrestling among themselves to be the first one to be able to give their account. Now, it is likely that Jesus is also aware of the death of John by this time. And Jesus knew that their journey would have required great energy, and so Jesus desires for them to rest. You know, Jesus also took rest from time to time. We need to understand that as Christians also, we need to rest and recharge our batteries occasionally. They needed to rest. Jesus could take this time to give them instructions, further teaching based upon their growth that came out of their evangelistic travels. If you've ever taken part in some evangelistic work or strive to be evangelistic to others in your lives, you are well aware of the growth that takes place. And also, Jesus is probably understanding at this time with Herod that he was going to be a greater danger now to Jesus. He would be to the apostles, and it could be that it was necessary now for them to make some adjustments in their plans or the way they would go about things. And so we see the great compassion of Jesus for his apostles. And next we want to notice Jesus' compassion again for the people, for the multitude. In verse 32, so they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the city. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach many things. The multitude was following Jesus. We see how badly they wanted to be with Jesus. They weren't even considering their own needs. But we see the compassion of Jesus take place now. How Christ-like are you in your compassion toward others? Let's note the great compassion of Jesus and the miracle in the verses that follow. First, we see the problem itself is presented to Jesus that requires the need for his action. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." Jesus fed the flock. You know, today, leaders in the church, elderships, must supply the flock with spiritual nourishment. We are responsible, elderships, to feed the flock. The apostles here thought the situation was impossible. Due to the lack of food, their distance from a village, just the logistics of the situation had overwhelmed them. What they really needed to do was to think back to their previous commission from Jesus, for he had just recently sent them out without provision. They needed to learn to rely and lean upon the Lord. They still had not fully learned. And so Jesus presents the solution to the disciples. Verse 38. But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in ranks, in hundreds and in fifties. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed, and broke the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fish he divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 5,000 men. The apostles had limited Christ. How quickly they had forgotten what the Lord can do. How quickly they said, "We can't." Why is it that we seem to become experts at our other interests and at times act like we have virtually no knowledge of the Bible? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so, when they were all fed, a full basket of food was left over for each apostle. I think that's significant for each one to see and realize. Yes, Jesus Christ fulfills every need. And now let us notice the amazement. Let us notice now the tempest and the fear that again would come upon the disciples, for they would not fully trust the Lord. Verse 45. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. Prayer was always Jesus' answer to crisis. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:7. They were in the storm of life, and Jesus is the answer to the storms of life, for he provides peace. In fact, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. To them, and the wind ceased. And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. And finally, again, we see the power of Jesus toward the sick and those that he would heal. Verse 53, and when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately. Him were made well. Jesus was teaching, and he was training his apostles. They were receiving many lessons here in what we today call the sixth chapter of Mark. They were slow learners, but they were slowly getting it. And in time, they would be ready when the church would come. On the day of Pentecost, they would be ready to stand forth, and they would be ready to go forward preaching the gospel and taking it to all the world. But again, let us think just a moment about the power of Jesus that we've seen in so many ways. The authority and the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has all power over disease. We've seen that Jesus Christ, through his healing of the sick, there is no disease that is greater than Jesus. We see the power of Jesus, the authority of Christ over even nature. For only Jesus can calm the storm. We see Jesus' power over the spirit world as he cast out demons. We see his power over our world. We see the power of Jesus over material things. And most of all, the power and the authority of Jesus Christ over even death itself. Yes, through this amazing book of Mark, we truly can see the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can build our faith, and we can go grow stronger and follow Him more obediently and more lovingly as we learn and know about these amazing things. Our time is about out today. So glad you tuned in this morning. Remember, tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Brother Chris Grota and J.J. Hendricks will be your host. They will be considering Mark chapter 7, another action-packed chapter. Also, remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. It'll be available on the archives within another day or so. So until next time, this is Chris McElyea saying so long and wishing you a great day.